Good morning, sir. Would you state your name for the record?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
Okay, we're ready to get started. Now, will he be able to communicate with us okay?
Yes, we
have been
right here.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, thank you. And if you would just give him the phone back, we will begin very shortly. And he's the only one that you have for us today, am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay, well, we'll be ready to get started with him now.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Good morning, sir. Would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
It's Roger Rafael Munoz. 221916.
Thank you, Mr. Munoz. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency inasmuch as we have an application from you for a hearing today, which is imminent danger of death, and we will be talking with you about that very shortly. I want to go over just a few preliminaries, and then we will attempt to get your doctor, and then we'll talk to you, and we will go from there. The preliminaries that I would like to go over, as you can see, there's a four-member panel present today to participate in your hearing. And can you hear me okay, sir? Okay. To my right and to your left, that is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. To my immediate right, that is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. To my left is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair today and as board chair. Although this is an imminent danger of death that we are dealing with today, we do have your application for that has been submitted to the board, and I just want to read some information that has been provided to the board as it relates to the offenses that that you're currently serving. And based on information that we have from the Department of Corrections, that you are currently serving a sentence for murder in the first degree, and that is a life sentence, and because of your health situation, you're requesting time served. You also have a second sentence, which is child adult abuse, which is a 17-year sentence, and that one you're also requesting time served. And we also have another one, that is child adult abuse, and that is a 17-year sentence, and you're requesting time served. You're currently serving B01, and that is the murder in the first degree, and all other counts are consecutive to B01. Therefore, the others are consecutive, which means that although we're dealing with a sensitive situation in terms of imminent danger of death, but if we were not, they would not, they would follow after the murder in the first degree sentence that we have. Now, so far, based on information that you know, since you know more than the rest of us, is that information that I've just stated, is that correct at this time, sir?
Yes, it is correct.
Okay. Now, what I'm going to attempt to do, Mayor, I'm going to attempt to get your doctor on the phone, and we want to talk to him because we don't want to hold him up for a long period of time. We're going to see if he's available, and if he's available, then we'll talk to him, and then we'll come back and talk with you, sir. I will point out the fact that in talking with you, the board will be attempting to get to know you better, to get to know your health situation, also to become better acquainted with the offenses that were committed. In fact, we will go all the way from the offenses that were committed up until today, and then the board will make its determination. The determination of this board will be to make a decision whether to send a recommendation to the governor asking that your sentence would be commuted, your sentences, that is, would be commuted, or whether they were not. The governor will make that final determination. This board will not make that determination. If the board sees fit, it will send that recommendation to the governor. The governor will review it, and then based upon that, a decision will be made. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well now I'm going to see if we can get your doctor on the phone and see if he might be available at this time. So if you would just hold on, sir. Yes, doctor, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and it is our understanding that you are the attending physician, a specialist for Mr. Walter Munoz. Is that correct, sir?
Can you hold on for just one moment?
Yes, sir.
I was working with you on the call. I'm not the regular physician that sees him on a day-to-day basis.
So are you prepared today to provide information to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency at this time, sir, although you're not the attending physician?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sir. Well, first of all, let me just indicate to you, since you cannot see us, there are four board members participating in Mr. Munoz's hearing today, and they are the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and my name is C.T. Wright. And I am serving as panel chair, and I'm also board chair. Today, we do acknowledge that we do have a report sent to the board of Executive Clemency for early release due to intimate death, and this was signed by Dr. Robinson back on October 3rd, 2017. So if you would be kind enough, let me just suddenly say that none of the board members are MDs. And we have different experiences as it relates to health care issues, but basically we're citizens, and we want to find out from you what is the physical condition Mr. Munoz, and then we can go from there and talk, and you can tell us what you need to tell us this morning, sir.
Okay, can you hear me up there? I've got you on the speakerphone right at the moment.
Yes, sir. We can hear you just fine. Now, can you hear us okay? Can you hear me okay, sir?
I can hear you okay.
Okay. Well, we're ready. We'll just listen to you now, sir.
All right. I'm just logging into the illness system, so that'll take a moment. But during that time, I'll help you resolve introduce myself. I'm Dr. Glenn Bandage. I'm the regional medical director for the Region East of Arizona. I've been, my background in general practice, family practice. I've been practicing most for over 30 years, over 15 of which has been in corrections.
Thank you so very much, and thanks for that wonderful introduction, and thanks for all that you're doing for the citizens of Arizona, sir.
Well, thank you.
For those present and for those on the phone, the doctor is just trying to pull some information from his computer, and as soon as he gets that, then he will provide us the board with a report. Thank you.
Okay, I'm logged in now. Now, this is Walter Munoz, 221916.
Yes, sir.
All right. And he has multiple health problems. And he's got pancreatic cancer, which is the main issue. And pancreatic cancer is probably 99.9% fatal. And the reason for it is it grows quickly, it's also hard to detect, so that by the time you discover it, it's usually far too far to treat. And with that, that is normally a very short lifespan. Is Richard Rose on the line too, by any chance?
Yes, sir, he's on the line. And he has some family support, supporters in the room with us as well, sir.
Okay. I don't know how much information was shared with him, so there may be some things I'm sharing that may or may not end up being used to him. So hopefully there's nothing new.
Well, we're interested in getting all the information that's available.
It can also be a very, very painful and so then it requires pain medication, and the pain medication can alter the mental status. And when it alters their mental status, then it's a situation where they're not able to function, make decisions. So it's the comfort measures that go with it in itself can be to a certain degree debilitating because of their side effects. So he's on morphine. He's on promethazine, he's on Vistaro, which can cause sedation. So that can impair his normal function, his normal thought processes. Now, he may be okay now, but down the road, as the doses of those increase, you know, then his ability to perform functions or make decisions or finally the vacuum is to be compromised. The situation is positive. That means that there's not a cure, that all we can do is keep him comfortable until the time comes. As far as estimating time is going to be difficult, depends on how quickly it was and how advanced it was at the time of recovery. And so some people can have as little as 2 months. Some people can go out about 6 months. But again, it varies. The chemotherapy itself may slow things down, but not by very much. And the chemotherapy itself can also have a lot of side effects to it. So it's a miserable cancer to have. The chemotherapy can make you miserable. And the pain medication to control it can also make you miserable. So he's got to find the end of life, you know, that he's looking for, obviously. And it's going to be very dysfunctional where, as time goes on, as he said, it's going to be mental function and interfere with his ability to do his activities of daily living. Is that enough information of what you're needing? I can elaborate.
Okay, let the board members, if it's okay with you, Doctor, we would just like to ask you just a few questions that you may or may not be able to provide the board with information at this time, and then we're going to talk to Mr. Munoz after we talk with you, sir. But I guess my first question would be, you said that when this disease was discovered, or this illness was discovered, do you have an idea about when it was discovered? I mean, was it 6 months ago, a year ago, or days ago? When was it discovered that he had this pancreatic cancer, sir?
Okay, you give me just a moment.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it was added to his problem list on August the 25th of this year.
Okay.
So that means that the diagnosis would have been made in probably the middle part of August, and then when the reports came back in, that's when they added it. So
Based upon the, excuse me, sir, please go ahead, sir. Based upon information that the board has had an opportunity to review, it shows that it was spread to both the liver and stomach. Is that the information correct, sir?
Yes.
And of course, he has pains, as you've indicated to the board. At this time, at the stage where he is now, how well does he function? We see him over on a video at this particular time, but as you say, that it might vary from time to time. So how well does he function? Is he able to, let me just ask a very elementary question. Is he able to eat? Is he able to go to the restroom on his own? Or does he need assistance for everything, sir, at this particular time?
Yeah, I have not seen him directly myself, so I can't honestly understand your question. Let me look at the last nursing note. I mean, as far as it goes, referring him on how much he's impaired by the medication and how much he's knocked down by the chemotherapy, and everybody is different. Now, it says on the note here that I've looked at for 11-7 that he's still doing self-care. So, according to the nurse's notes, that means that he can perform his own ADLs as far as bathrooms, cleaning, eating.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me just ask another question. According to information that we find in the application, that this board saw fit to make a recommendation to the governor, and the governor accepted the recommendation of this board, that he would want to live at home with his mother or move into a hospice. And I know that you may not know at the moment, because as you say, you've not been the day-to-day attending physician, but is he physically well enough to be transported home or to a hospice or somewhere else if he were to leave the prison facility, sir?
If I'm understanding your question correctly, you're asking two parts. One is he okay on transport? And then the second part is, can he be at home with his mother? Is that the question?
Yes, sir. That would be perfect if you could answer either one or both of those, sir.
Yes, at this point in time, we could be transported in a personal vehicle. We wouldn't require an ambulance. It would just need the time of the screening medication dosing. And then as far as the other part is with hospice, if arrangements are made, hospice can come into the home as opposed to the other situation where he goes into a nursing home setting and receives hospice care. So it all depends on what arrangements the family has made. But there are lots of people who receive hospice at home and pass away at home.
Well, I know that you're not the day-to-day attendant physician, but do you show any notes where any arrangements have been made if he should be released, his sentence would be commuted? Do you show any information at all what arrangements have been made? And we will be talking to he and the family about this, but I'm just wondering from a medical standpoint if any arrangements have been recommended or suggested, sir.
I don't have access to any of that information within the owner, so I would not be able to answer your question on that.
Okay. And my final question at this time, before we go to other board members, you stated, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that life expectancy could be anywhere from 2 to 6 months. Well, of course, we know that none of us know when death will take place, and I'm very conscious of that, and I believe that all board members are. But is it possible? And if not, please be honest with the board. Is it possible to narrow that down, whether we're talking about 2 months, 4 months, 6 months? Is it possible at this point, based on medical conditions at this point, that we could narrow it down, sir?
The 2 to 6 months is based on the diagnosis.
Well, he was diagnosed in August, then we have to take those months off. So we're subtracting 3 months off of that. So if the other one is 6 months, then we take out 3, and we're talking about 3 now.
Okay, sir. So yes, because he was actually diagnosed August the 25th, according to information that you have provided to the board. Okay, sir, at this time, because we know how busy you are, but I'm going to yield to other board members to see if they will have questions for you at this time, sir. Board members, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse?
No, sir, no questions.
Honorable
Thanks,
Mr.
Sir.
Wattis, Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Doctor, this some information I was trying to see if I could find in the report, but how much, according to your records, does it say that Mr. Munoz weighs?
In weight?
Yes, sir. Weight.
Okay. The last weight I'm showing from November the 7th is 160 pounds. However, when I look back, it looks like every weight that I've seen from November 2nd, he's had multiple injuries. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's probably got close to 20 injuries in there, and they all give the same weight. So I don't believe that's an accurate weight.
Okay.
I think that when you see that pattern, that's a reported weight. Or an inmate or somebody puts it down in the nursing, just load the weights in rather than actually getting the person on the scale. Now, I see some weights that are 109, 131, and 131 again repeats itself for multiple entries. So again, that's not a true weight, that's just a reported weight.
Okay.
So, and then the same pattern occurred with 135. So, and then again earlier with 140. So he's not giving weight every time. A lot of times you're just putting in results from before. So I couldn't tell you what his actual weight is.
All righty, doctor. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Any further questions for the doctor? Hearing no further questions by board members for you, sir, you are welcome to stay on the call, but if you have other responsibilities, we do understand because we're going to continue this hearing with Mr. Munoz and his supporters who are present at this time, sir. So the board will move forward at this time, but thank you so much for the information that you provided to the board, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Munoz, we are back to you, sir.
With your permission, I'll drop off.
Okay, thank you, and thanks again, sir.
Thank you.
Please have a great day. Okay, we will move forward at this time. I think that, and I know it's a little difficult, and I know that we do have supporters in the room, but I think that in order for the board to make an informed decision, and this is what the board must do, it's not easy, and I would say this, it's not easy, but the board must make an informed decision. I think I would like to go back, unless I have some objection from board members, I would like to go back to the original incident itself when he was incarcerated and why he was incarcerated initially, and from there then we can move forward to the health situation and to any other situations that this board might see fit to discuss today. Now, Mr. Munoz, I'm just going to, and I'm not going into much detail at this point, but I'm just going to make just general comment about the offense itself, and then I'm going to ask you if you could tell us exactly what happened. According to information that I've gleaned from that's been provided to the board, that I guess this would have been about June 23rd, 2010, your wife had gone to the store, and you were left at home with the 2-year-old child, and So was this two-year-old child, was this your physical son, or was this a stepchild for you, sir?
No, it was a stepchild, sir.
It's your stepchild, okay. And that somehow you made a decision to jump over the victim. I think you was trying to get to a piece of furniture, and you jumped over, and somehow you landed on the victim, and as a result of that, it created severe pains. And after you had landed on him, I believe that he was beginning to turn blue, and you told the other kids to go and watch television in another room. How many other kids were in the residence at that time, sir?
There was seven. My son and another son and a daughter out there.
All total, that would have been...
Total.
Go ahead, sir. So, all total, how many was in the residence at that time, sir? Seven total, okay, sir. Four total was in the room, was in the residence at the time of the incident itself, okay. And when your wife returned from the store, it seems that the victim, as I've already said, was turning blue, and initially, and if I misread this, please correct me. Initially, you and your wife did not call the emergency. Am I correct, sir, on that?
Yeah, that's correct. I panicked, and I didn't know really what to do. I was really intoxicated, but that's not an excuse. But I just made some judgment that day that I shouldn't have done when I tried to jump over him. But I had landed on top of him, and then... I think I wrote down the rest of the detail right there, unless you want me to just keep going.
Now, I know based on what you said and based on information presented to the board, you were intoxicated at the time, but what was the reason that you decided that you jumped over him? What was going on at that point, sir?
They were laying down on the floor, and inside there was the room, there was like a dresser on the other side. So I had jumped over him to get over there, and I just didn't count the space, like how far I had. So he was laying toward the end by the dresser, and when I came down on him, it's a lot of weight to land on someone so small.
So why was it necessary for you to go to the dresser, sir? Go to that piece of furniture?
I couldn't tell you 100% what I was getting out of there, but I was trying to get some kind of paperwork or get something out of the dresser at that time.
And, okay, so now you jumped over him, your wife is home, and you admit yourself that initially you did not, neither one of you initially called the emergency people. So about how long do you think it was before that call was made to the emergency people for them to come to your residence, sir?
About 45 minutes.
Okay, about 45 minutes, okay. And so when they came, do you know whether he was, that is your stepson, whether he was dead at that point or whether he was still living when the emergency arrived, sir?
He was still living when the emergency arrived.
Okay. And they carried him to a medical facility, to a hospital, sir. Am I correct or incorrect, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And to the best of your recollection, at what point did he die, sir? I mean, was it a few hours, a day, or what? How long was it?
I think it was maybe 3 or 4 hours after medical took him to the hospital.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. And during that period of time, as I say, I'm just trying to become familiar with this as one board member, but during that period of time, that 45 minutes gap there, what were you and your wife doing during that period of time? You know, because you 45 minutes passed, about 45 minutes passed, and you had not called medical, nothing has happened. So what were y'all doing during that 45 minutes, sir?
I started trying to do CPR to get his turn blue. I had tried that for a little bit and to see if he was going to come back on his own. And then Bianca, the co-attendant of my case, she was just like real panicked. She was just kind of standing there when all this was going on. And we were just trying to see if so he was going to come back on his own. So we waited. And right there is a big reason why that he didn't make it. If I had called medical attention right away, that I think that he probably would have survived.
Let me make sure that I heard you, because sometimes we can't hear well over the telephone or the video in this case. Were you saying that if you had called earlier, there's a possibility that he would have survived? Is that what you're saying, sir?
Yes, I think there was. I think if I had called right away, that he got medical attention, I think it would probably save his life.
Let me just ask a couple more questions, and I'll go to board members. One is, you mentioned that there were four kids in the house at the time. How old were the other kids? I know he was about 2 years of age, but how old were the others, sir?
I think it was three. My son was 3 years old. And then she had a daughter that was 6. And a son that was 5 years old.
Okay, so he was the youngest one in the residence at that time, sir. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, sir. Okay, at this time I'm going to yield to other board members. All of us need to become acquainted with you. I believe that this is the first time that we as a board will have had the opportunity to speak with you, and the board is constituted today. Therefore, I'm going to yield to other board members at this time. Board members, questions at this time for Mr. Munoz as it relates to the offense itself or any other aspects that you would see fit to ask questions about at this time? Board members, questions? Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Munoz, I asked the doctor this question, but he wasn't able to really answer. How much do you weigh now, sir? Do you know?
I weighed myself like 4 days ago, and I'm at 109 pounds.
Do you know how much you weighed about a year ago?
Yeah, a year ago I was about 185.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Board members, any further questions at this time for Mr. Munoz? You have the opportunity to ask questions later as well. So at this time, we do have some supporters in the room for Mr. Munoz. How many supporters do we have present today? I have a partial list here. I do show that I show that his mother is present, and I see that another gentleman has raised his hand as well. So which one of you wish to speak first?
I do.
Please come forward, ma'am. Good morning and welcome to the board. Would you state your name for the record, ma'am?
Yes, sir. My name is Gina Lopez, and I'm the mother of Walter Nelson.
Yes, ma'am. So what do you want to tell the board today, ma'am?
If you don't mind, I can roll a couple things down.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. On October 30th, 2010, life as we knew it drastically changed for two families. The Resendez family and my own. It truly felt like a nightmare, one that didn't go away when you woke. There hasn't been a day that we as a family haven't grieved for the loss of Daniel by the actions of my son. My son has also told me that he knows that he has to live with that pain and sadness for the rest of his life. We have talked at great lengths about it and cried together. He has said all the I wishes that only said if I could just go back in time, I would have made better choices. But as we all know, you can't go back. Walter is the oldest of my two children, and we have always been close. He has been my son, my closest confidant, and my best friend. It has been 7 years he has been in prison, and he has changed from a young adult who was angry and lost to a young man who has found himself a loving father and a son I can say now that I am proud of. He is loved very much. He has accepted the responsibility of his actions, and now, due to medical diagnosis, he contemplates a higher power. One question that he posed to me stands out in my mind. He asked me, he said, Mom, you think God will forgive me? And I have to answer yes, because I know the Lord knows what's in his heart. My hope for my son was that even in prison, he could have been an asset, maybe a mentor. As he still had so many gifts, he could still share. But in August, he was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. In 3 months, I have watched hopelessly as my son deteriorated. Sorry.
Yes, ma'am, just relax. Take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and just relax, ma'am.
I have watched helplessly as my son deteriorated, losing over 75 pounds and constant pain. His mouth is filled completely with sores. And he is slowly becoming immobile. Cancer is a devastating disease, and as young as he is to get this disease, I have also learned that cancer does not discriminate. When my son went into the prison system, his son Anthony, who I now raise, was 3 years old. He is now 10. He had his mother in his life till he was 4, when she decided that being a mother to him required more than she was able to give. And she just disappeared out of his life completely. He has never seen her since. He was sad, and he was confused, but over time he stopped talking about her. I have always taken Anthony to see his father, in the beginning just seeing him on a monitor and speaking to him on a phone at 4th Avenue Jail. Then he was moved to Florence, and he got to see him through a plexiglass, which always thrilled him, and he was so excited on visiting these. At the end of our visits, he would always cross his arms across his chest as if giving his dad a hug and say, I love you. After Walter got sick and moved to the medical ward at Florence, all visitation with his son ceased because of it being an open yard and children were not allowed. Anthony knows that his dad is sick, but he doesn't understand the gravity of the situation, as I have not been able to find the words as of yet. How do you tell a little boy that he may lose the only parent that he has left? My hope today is that you will find it in your hearts to allow my grandson to have some closure with the father he loves, so he can say, I had this time with my dad at the end, and maybe at the end of this dark journey, there could be a little light. Thank you.
Thank you. Board members, questions? I do have a question for you, ma'am.
Yes,
the records show that one option that he requested, the governor community sentence, was that he would reside with you. Is that still the expectation if he is, if his sentence is commuted, ma'am?
Yes. Yes.
And
he can either reside with me, and we're just kind of going to try to go with and see how he's doing. But I've also been in contact with Hospice of the Valley, and I have a lady that is working on things through me, for me, named Cindy, in case it gets so bad that he's not able to do that anymore.
But in terms of your residence itself, you do have room, necessary room for him to...
Well, our house is small. I have a big room of my own, which was my plan to have him just take over my bedroom. But of course, I'd like him to be with me, but he's declined so rapidly, I don't know if that's later going to be feasible.
And where's his son at this time? His biological son?
He's with me.
He's with you?
He's been with me since he was three.
Any others with you aside from you, your son, and who else lives in the residence, ma'am?
My other son. I have another son.
You have another son, okay. Yes, ma'am. Board members, any further questions? Board members don't have any questions for you at this time. Thank you so very much for coming today. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for allowing me. Appreciate it.
Sir, are you prepared to make a statement, sir?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
First, I want to say thank you for Logan.
And secondly, please state your name just for the record.
Yes, sir. Roberto Lopez.
Yes, sir. So and what do you want to tell the board this morning, sir?
I'm telling you one thing. I just want to say it's double love for Junior. I'm sorry, for Walter Munoz. Just to pass away with dignity. With the people that really love him. It just, for me, would be, for the family, it would be really sad if he passed away when it really close by. Because we always been united as a family. And this is, that's the only thing I would love to say right now, because that's the only thing I really want. Just be together at the end. And that will be all.
Thank you so Thank very you. Much. Any questions, board members? I don't see any questions coming from board members. Thank you so very much, sir.
Yes.
Board members, do you have any further questions at this time for Mr. Munoz? Or are there any others present, supporters or victims in the room at this time who wishes to participate in this hearing? Anyone else wish to participate in the hearing? Anyone else wishes to participate in the hearing? Seeing and hearing none, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, sir. But this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir, the board is prepared to listen.
All right. Yeah, I just like to say I thank you guys for letting me come up here and have a chance to speak with you and give me this opportunity. I know that a lot of people will say that it's probably not worth letting us out like this, but I just want to give that little bit of time back to my son. And I just want to tell you guys I accept responsibility for everything I've done. And I came in, I was a young kid. Just I was under drugs and alcohol was just fueling me. And over this time I had a lot of chance for me to clear my mind and to kind of just focus on what's really out there. I've taken all these programs and done a lot of programs since I've been in here. Anything that's available, I've done, tried to better myself. And I just hope that I can get that little bit of time to go so I can just finish the rest out with my family. I just wanted to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to come up here and speak to you. I think that's all right there.
Thank you so much, sir. Before the board goes into discussion, I do want to ask one other question if board members have no objection, and that is, I do take note August 24th, 2016, a little more than a year ago, a year and 2 or 3 months ago, you had a ticket for promoting prison contraband. What was that about, sir?
Well, It was a stinger. It's like the heat of water. It's like a homemade thing you plug into the wall and it, like you can make hot water to make soup and coffee and stuff like that.
Thank you, sir. All the questions by board members, hearing none, then the board is now going into discussion. Sir, it may sound as if we're talking to you or if we're talking to others in the room. However, we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. This will be the first time that this board, as it is constituted today, the four members that's present today, will have had an opportunity to discuss your case. We operate under the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona. Our discussion will be made in public while we sit here. We do not go behind closed doors. We do it right here publicly. And we're going to ask that you would remain quiet. We're going to ask all others in the room to remain quiet. We know that this can be an emotional situation, the decision that this board will make either way. But we're going to ask everyone to remain calm during this discussion and following this discussion, the decision of this board. And we're going to ask all that they will respect it. Again, let me just say what I've already said earlier. This board will not, cannot commute the sentence. The board can make a recommendation to the governor. And that's what the board can do, or the board might decide not to make a recommendation to the governor. At this time, the board is going into discussion. Any board member wishes to lead off the discussion? I know. Oh, Mr. Cunionis, yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I want to be sensitive to this case. I will begin by saying that I have to vote my conscience. I have compassion for the ill in general, be it physical, mental, or spiritual, and I would never force my personal spirituality on anyone in this great secular country, but I pray for everyone. I pray for all souls. But based on the totality of this case, and Mr. Muniz's numerous sentences, the cruel nature, his list of crimes, I cannot in good faith support commutation, even in the face of imminent death or danger. I recognize that he was given a natural life sentence, of which he has only served 7 years. And that's how I'd like to begin the discussion. And I'm certainly open to the input of my peers.
Thank you so very much, sir. Discussion by other board members. Honorable Mr. Johnson?
I certainly agree and understand how Mr. Quinones feels he's serving a 7-year sentence for what I would consider to be a heinous crime that was committed on a 2-year-old child along with some other incidents that happened to occur. However, Mr. Munoz, has not only been sentenced to a term of imprisonment, but he's also been sentenced to something that I would consider beyond our control, to a very hard and rough illness that he has incurred, and pain has been inflicted on him and on his family as well. I think that I do understand that this was a very heinous crime. However, according to the doctors, he has approximately 3 months to live. They started out with 2 to 6 months, I believe it was, and that was a diagnosis in August, and now it's taken a few months off of that he has pancreatic cancer, and according to the doctor, I thought he said that this cancer is 99.9% fatal, in stage four. At this point in time, I think that not granting him imminent death is not a punishment to him, but more to his family. And I think that the people who suffer the most, he's going to suffer whether he's still incarcerated or when he's at home with his parents, he's going to suffer. But I think that at this point in time, that not granting him imminent death, that it's the family who would do the suffering. He's going to go through the same pain, suffering, and different things, as the doctor has said that at some point, you know, he won't be able to take care of himself. He may not be able to feed himself or do the extremities. I think that, like I said, I just think that we didn't grant it. As far as I'm concerned, I do. It was a heinous crime, and I feel for the victim and the victim's family for this, but I think at this point, the victim's family, I mean, Mr. Munoz's family would be the one that would be suffering.
Thank you so much, Honorable Ms. Johnson. Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, do you have anything you want to contribute?
Yes, sir. I would just note, unless I'm reading this wrong, there were multiple sentences. There were 3 17-year sentences for child abuse, child/adult abuse, and then that's followed by 2 4-and-a-half-year. So there's quite a lengthy sentence given, and you know, just some respect for the victims in this case, but the people who have suffered. But I also feel the same as Mr. Johnson, in that the people who will suffer are not the people who committed, I mean, there's certainly the person who committed the crime will suffer, whether or not he's granted commutation, but the person I think about is his son, who is so young now that he may or may not even have any memory of his father. He's only 3, so I think I could support recommending commutation just for that reason.
Thank you very much, but I do think that his son is around 10 years of age at this time. I'm going to make my comment at this time, and then we will see where we go from here. As a board member, I truly believe in mercy and grace. However, I think that when we look at this particular incident itself, I do not, and I'm only speaking as one board member on behalf of myself and no other board member, I do not feel that a recommendation to the governor at this point would be appropriate. Yes. Like my distinguished colleagues have stated, we look at his son, his biological son, but I cannot help from looking at his stepson, 2 years of age, who was murdered. That really concerns me. I also look at the record, when you look at the records themselves, the records that's been presented to this board, this was not his first go around. He had those domestic violence in the past. In fact, at other times, he and his wife that had verbal disputes, punched her in the head 4 or 5 times. He was just not a productive citizen. recognize the fact, position that the family finds itself in at this time. In fact, I sympathize with the family. But like our distinguished colleague, Mr. Kiwanis, I just cannot, in good faith, recommend passing this to the governor. But I am going to continue with discussion before offering a motion. Mr. Kiwanis,
yes, it's really not for argument. It's I think it's an appropriate time to say that I really do respect the individual opinions and votes of my peers. I hear them. I hear the compassion, and I'm proud of them. But we all have to vote our conscience. And I guess I would just say that I appreciate the collective wisdom of this board.
Thank you so very much. I'm going to offer a motion and see where it goes. And my motion is going to be of profound regret. But as Mr. Kiwanis has said, we have a conscience as well. Therefore, my motion is going to be not to pass to the governor.
Second.
I disagree.
And a motion was made by myself, seconded by Mr. Kiwanis, disagreed by Ms. Johnson, disagreed by Ms. Rittenhouse. And, before we go for a counter motion, I'm going to ask for a 2-minute recess. I would like to just get us to make sure that we say and do the right thing. If there's no objection, I would just like to make one call.
Do we stay on recording, sir?
Yes, sir, I think so.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. This is C.T. Wright in the boardroom. May I speak with Ms. Kirschbaum, please? Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to see if you could provide me with some clarification because of your experience on the board. And we have a situation, we're dealing with an imminent danger of death case. The vote turned out, we have 4 board members present today. The vote turned out to be 2-2. Yes, ma'am. So what's... Okay, it does not carry. Okay, thank you. That's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure that I was correct. Okay, well, thank you so very much. Okay, it does not carry, therefore a recommendation will not be submitted to the governor. I'm sorry, but that's where we are at this time. The hearing is over. Good luck, and may God bless each of you.